the great Kahan Malachi Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom. Yeah, praise Yahweh. You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. We are extremely blessed, brothers and sisters. And the reason why we are so blessed is because that Yahweh have called us out into his great house to be part of his great work in these last days. Seeing what is taking place in the world right now, all the wars and so on that is building up. You know, we should be ever so joyful to be part of this work and to diligently strive day by day to continue being part of this work. We should actually be begging Yahweh never to leave his house, never to be taken out from the great work of Yahweh, because this work is so, so important in these last days. Remember who we are, what we were called out for in these last days. We are the last remnant to usher in Yahweh's kingdom. And knowing who, you know, we are standing with, our great teacher, Yisrael Hawkins, you know, we should be extremely joyful to be standing with him, knowing who directly he is. He is the last of Yahweh priests in the 6,000 years to finish up Yahweh's work. And we are blessed to be part of his household. And we should be striving day by day, as this day represents. It represents a special event that will take place. And this is what Pastor have been preparing us for, that special event. All right, so what we're going to start off with, obviously, the 10th book of Yisrael, believe into the one sent. So much what we're going to just, we're just going to look at one or two of very important things that Pastor said in this sermon. Now, this whole sermon is very, very important. This whole sermons. A day like today, we should be going through the sermons and try to get a deeper understanding what the Day of Atonement really is. Right? What we're going to be covering is chapter 9. Chapter 9 in the second book. The sermons was given on the 9th Roman month, the 18th day, 2010. And the title of Pastor's sermons is, You as an Individual Must Become Able to Make Atonement. And that's just not a very simple statement. That's a very large statement Pastor is showing us here. Because this is something very important. Right? And Pastor goes on in this sermon to say, from verse 1, he said, Shalom, everyone. Praise Yahweh. Come on. Let's hear some cheering out there. Come on. That's better. That's a little better. We are looking forward to atonement, right? Praise Yahweh. You may be seated. He said, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. He goes on to say, that is a part of atonement, the peace of Yahweh being with each and every one of you. And we are getting ready, showing us, well, look, is something that is coming up. Right, a particular event that is coming up. We are getting ready, of course, for this great atonement with Yahweh. So he's showing us exactly where, look, it's a particular event that is coming up very, very, very soon now. So let us just look at some of the transformation real quick, and the purpose and the time span. If you have a book of Yahweh, let's look, turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4 is found on page 912. Galatians chapter 4, we'll start from verse 1. Now, the title of this is The Appointed Time. Here, hears of Yahweh. But I say this, as long as he is an infant, he is no different than a slave, although he is to be ruler of all, but is under the subjection of the teachers and office holder. This is something very important. But is under the subjection of the teachers and the office holder until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were infant, we were enslaved under the elements of the world. But when the appointed time had fully come, Yahweh sent forth his Son, coming into existence from a woman, coming into existence under the subjection of the law, in order that those who were under the subjection of the law might be redeemed. So you see, it's a particular event coming up. That time of redemption is drawing near. This is what atonement is all about. Redeemed by him, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. So we see it's adoption that is taking place. And because you are sons, Yahweh sent forth the spirit of his Son into our hearts, which cried, Abba, Father. And because he is our Father, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of Yahweh through Yahshua. So we see in Malak that transformation from a slave or a servant to a son. Now let us just look how one become a slave. Right? Because sometimes you know this is a real dirty word in the world's eye. But not in the house of Yahweh, knowing what a true slave or knowing what a true servant is. If you turn over to Exodus chapter 21, we're going to read verses 1, 2, 5, and 6. Wait, read. Now, these are the judgments which you shall set before them. He said, if you buy a Hebrew slave, now the time we were bought, the day that we were baptized, we were bought with the blood of Yahshua. Right, that's the price that was paid for us. You know, as 1 Corinthians 6:20 said, you were bought with a price. The price was Yahshua's blood. That is the transformation where we were bought to this individual. Now listen carefully and understand what Yahweh is saying here. He said, if you buy a Hebrew slave, so he's talking about all those who were sent. Because we are begotten by the message of Yahweh. So he's talking about all those who were sent at a particular time. He said, if you buy a Hebrew slave, meaning we're locked to the message that comes from Yahweh, because we are begotten from the message from above. So this is what he's speaking about. Not no monetary thing to buy an individual. He said, he may serve you for 6 years, meaning we're locked from one period of time, from That 6,000 years period where this whole event is going to take place. And as we know, the Feast of Tabernacles represents this 6,000 years and the 7,000 and the white throne judgment. He said, but in the seventh year, he is to go out free without paying anything. Now verse 5 say, but if the servant plainly say, I love my owner, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free. Then his owner shall bring him to the judge. He shall take him to the door or doorpost and pierce his ears. Meaning, well, look, we love the house of Yahweh more than all, or we love the household. Now let us just look at Deuteronomy 15. 16 and 17, because give us a clear picture what we just read in verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 15, line upon line, scripture upon scripture. It gives us a beautiful, beautiful picture of what we just read in verses 5 and 6. Verse 16, Deuteronomy 15, verse 16 said, now remember what he said in front. He said, if you buy a Hebrew slave. Now 16 Deuteronomy 15 to 16 said, "But if he say to you, I do not want to leave you because he loves you and your household and is well off with you." That is a very, very beautiful picture and understanding what Yahweh have put here for us. Because the last one who is sent, Yisrael Hawkins, right, and understanding the foundation that we are on, the prophet and the apostles and Yahshua being the chief cornerstone, we can clearly read this as, "But we," instead of "he," put "we," "but we say to you," and we can put "Yisrael, I do not want to leave you because we love you." And how many times we usually hear that? "We love you, Pastor. We love you, Pastor. And your household," the household, the great family name of Yahweh, "and is well off with you." What the world have to give? The only hope anyone have right now for salvation is in the house of Yahweh. Nowhere else. In the house of Yahweh. The tree of life. The tree that is bringing forth life. Well, let us look quickly at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. From verse 14. For as many are led by the Spirit of Yahweh, they are the sons of Yahweh. Or for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. You see, going back, showing us, well, look, from a servant or a slave to become a son of Yahweh. By which we cry out, "Abba, Father." Yahweh's spirit itself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of Yahweh. And if children, then heirs of Yahweh and joint heir with Yahshua, since we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Verse 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which will be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation wait for the revealing of the sons of Yahweh. For the creation was made subject to emptiness, not willingly, but by the will of him who subject it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption in this glorious liberty by the children of Yahweh. For we know that the whole world have been groaning as in labor of childbirth. And we see these two work, the work of Yahweh and the beastly system, these two work coming, you know, parallel. It's two parallel work. Right up to this present time, and not only they, but we ourselves, who have the first fruit of the Spirit, grown inwardly as we wait eagerly before the adoption and redemption of our body. Down to verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did foreordain to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the first amongst many brothers. Moreover, those who he did foreordain, those he also called. And whom he called, those he also justified. And whom he justified, those he also glorified. What then will we say to these things? If Yahweh is with us, who can be against us? No one can be against us once Yahweh is on our side. Look at the knowledge that the world have. Look at the knowledge the world have. Their knowledge is only for greed, lust, destruction. That is what their knowledge is for. Now, Their knowledge came from the school of higher learning. Now, a man's knowledge is only great as his source is. Where do we get our source of knowledge from? Yahweh, that's right. Yahweh is the one that is giving us all this knowledge through our high priest and through our faithful witness, Israel. But let us continue reading from chapter 9. This is what Pastor said. What a beautiful thing. When that event takes place, when that great atonement with Yahweh takes place. And this is something, you know, we should constantly be striving for. Day by day, wanting to meet that appointed time when all of us will be redeemed and become the sons of Yahweh. This is the great atonement that Pastor is speaking out. He said, what a beautiful thing. He said, praise Yahweh. He said, been working 40 something years for this in the wilderness. That is working with us. Working with us in the wilderness. A few pages over, verse 66. The pastor goes on to say, he said, Yahweh have eternal life already. He didn't have to have you to make eternal life for himself. He has it already. What coaxed him to want to bring you into existence? He said, was concern. And this is what atonement is about. Concern. Concern for others. He said, concern for others. Others. That's what coaxed this whole thing, that what he passed these laws for, was concern for others. Now let us look at Joshua now, over on page 69. Now, Joshua knew what exactly he had to go through to be our high priest, to be our Passover lamb, and to make atonement for us. Now, Joshua is that bridge, that gap, that fill that gap between man and Yahweh. Israel Hawkins is a tool that is being used to let us be a part of that bridge. Right? But Joshua knew exactly what he had to go through. You know, like the patriot Eob said in Eob 16:21, he said, if only there was one who would plead for a man with Yahweh as a man plead for his brothers. Talking about one who could to mediate in behalf of man with Yahweh. This is what the great patriot Eob was speaking about. One who could intercede, plead. And this is what Yahshua is doing on the Day of Atonement. Pleading with Yahweh for us. Right? That is what he is doing. Constantly pleading so we can qualify to make that atonement. Now verse 112, Pastor goes on to say, he said, think of that. Think of what this took for a man to know what he was going through and going to go through and yet go ahead and proceed to this cruelty that this man went through for us. So we see the same love and concern that Yahweh have in giving us, offering us eternal life is the same concern that Joshua have. He said, cruelty that this man went through for us. He said, no, he's not talking about his body. He's talking about the spirit that brought him to this point. And when I say spirit, I am not talking about a ball of gas. I am talking about an attitude. So we can see directly what the peaceful solution is doing with us. Giving us the right attitude, giving us the right character that we can qualify to make atonement. This is what he's speaking about here. He said, a true manner from Yahweh, the true manner that make you love your brother enough to die for them. That was what Joshua was. Right? He said, that's what Joshua was. And in the same way, Yahweh have concern for us. Joshua had that same concern. And in the same way, our teacher, Israel Hawkins, have that concern for us. Right? He have that same concern for us. Now, when we look, we fully know what he have been through. Why is he going through that? And the prophet of Yahweh show us in the scripture that Yisrael Hawken is going to make it. Why is he going through this? It's because of the same thing that Yahweh have, the same thing that Yahshua have, that same love and concern for us. Because his name is already written. Why is he going through this? It's for us, teaching us how to make atonement. This is what he's coming up here constantly and showing us, the mindset that we have to have. Right? And all the prophets, Isaiah 49:3, Isaiah 44 and 45, Zechariah chapter 4 and chapter 5, Genesis 49, Daniel 12, Revelation 11, all these, you know, testify to Yisrael Hawken. You know, they all show us that he is going to make it in the kingdom of Yahweh and the work that he is doing. Now, you know, we this last remnant, we are the last remnant of the house of Yahweh. The last group to be sealed. And we are the ones that have the testimony of Yisrael Hawken. We are the ones that have the testimony of Yisrael Hawken, because the prophets and they wrote about him. And we are the ones that actually seeing what they wrote about him coming to pass. Testimony means evidence in support of. So we are the one that is actually seeing and witnessing what Yisrael Hawken, what the prophets of Yahweh have spoken about Yisrael Hawken. We are the one that actually seeing it coming to pass. So we carry that testimony of Yisrael Hawken. And what he's teaching us to make atonement. The same love and concern. The same love and concern that Yahweh have, Yahshua have, Yisrael Hawken have, that same love and concern. Now, with the show of hands, how many of us have a very strong desire to make it in Yahweh's kingdom? Let me ask this again. How many of us, by the show of hands, how many of us have a very strong desire to make it into Yahweh's kingdom? Okay, everyone's hands should be up. Okay. Look at the person on your right side. This way. Look at the person on your left side. Okay. Look at the person in the back of you. Okay. We should have that same strong desire for those individuals to make it in Yahweh's kingdom. That is the desire we should have. Now continue on verse 123, where Pastor goes on to say, he said, we are going to make ourselves atonement because we love one another. So we will make atonement for each other. He said, we will help one another in getting into the kingdom. We will help one another in getting into the kingdom. That is that strong desire we should have. To help each other get into Yahweh's kingdom. Now he said, rich, poor, whatever. It doesn't make any difference. He said, go tell them the message is preached to the poor here. The people are fed Yahshua body and blood right here, making them where they can make atonement. So you see, this is the love and concern we should be striving on, to make atonement, not only for ourselves. Yahshua didn't have that mindset to make atonement, or he didn't have that mindset about selfishness. He was looking at every individual where he had to give his blood to qualify, love and concern to make atonement. This should be our mindset. This is what Pastor is teaching us, to have that mindset. Now, this is going to take me to the beginning of my sermons. Now we're getting ready to start. Okay, so what we're going to look at is the title of the sermons, and it's found in Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. We start reading from verse 1 to 9, where it reads, "And Adam knew his wife, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. And she said, I have brought forth a man with the help of Yahweh. Then she bore again. This time his brother Abel was born. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground." And we, Pastor, showed us what this really means. Abel was the one that served Yahweh, and Cain was the one that served the gods. He was a God worshiper. He is the one that the adversary used to start God worship, or that system that is against Yahweh. He was the first one. And on one of Yahweh's Sabbath, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to Yahweh. Now, I'm going to read verse 4 in the way that it should be translated, or that was corrected. It says, "And Abel brought an offering of the fruit of the first flock and of their fat. And Yahweh honored Abel and his offering. But he did not honor Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry." So we see that negative flow, became angry, and his countenance fell. "So Yahweh said to Cain, why are you angry?" So we see in different flaws that Cain have. One is anger. He said, "Why are you downcast? He said, if you do righteousness, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do righteousness," he said, "sin is crouching at your door." He said, the desire to sin is with you, but you must overcome. And this is something that all, every individual must do, overcome sin to make atonement. He said, "Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were spread abroad, that Cain rose against Abel, his brother, and killed him." Remember this word, rose. Then Yahweh said to Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Now look at the lie he's fixing to say now. And he said, "I do not know." So we see actually the teacher of all lie, and Cain picking up where she left off. He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And this is the title of this sermon. It's not "Am I," but "I am my brother's keeper." That is the title of this sermon. In Strong's, the word "keeper" is word number 8104. And listen what it means. Now, this is what Cain was asking. This was what Cain was saying he's not. The word "keeper" and "strongs" mean to hedge about. Right? To hedge about. Guard. To protect. Attend to. So we see directly what Cain is saying he's not. And this is what Abel was. Abel was a guard of Yahweh people. He was a protector of Yahweh people, and he attend to. And I put in attend to in service. That is what attend to mean. Attend to in service, in serving each other. You know, when we lift our hand and we bow and we greet each other, we automatically what we are saying, "I want to be your servant." Right? That is what we are saying to each other. When we lift our hands and we bow, it's a humble way of saying, "Well, yes, I want to be a servant." And this is what Cain won't. He was not a servant. He didn't want to be a servant. Now, let's just go back up to verse 8. I'm just going to jump a little off track here. Now, it said Cain rose against Abel. Right? Cain rose against Abel. Now, Abel, it was testified that Abel was righteous, right? So Cain rose against righteousness. Okay. Cain rose. Starting from that time to where we are at this time, Cain rose against righteousness. Cain rose against all form of holiness. That's what it come down to our time. Now this word rose and strong is word number 6965. And one of the meaning of it is the Hebrew word is pronounced kum. And one of the meaning is in a military context. Right? In a military context. It says kum may mean to engage in battle. So we could see from that time to now, that military system that rose against righteousness from Cain time to where we are right now. Now all the world, say all the world have gone in the way of Cain. All the world have gone in the way of Cain. And Yahweh said, come out from that system. He said, come out from who, my people? Come out from that way of thinking. This is what Yahweh is saying. Come out from that way of thinking. Come out from that lifestyle. In Genesis 49:6, it said, let me not enter their council. That is what he's speaking about. That type of lifestyle. You know, we have to be constantly, you know, evaluating ourselves to see if we have any trace of this counsel in us. We have to have the same love and concern for each other. That is what we should have. And you know, anytime we have hatred in our mind, or putting a stumbling block, or holding a grudge in our mind, we still have residue of Cain in us. We still have that residue of Cain. Will we make atonement with that? We have to come out from that way of life, that way of thinking. To make atonement, we have to. And this is what pastor's been going over and over with us. We must be holy as Yahweh is holy to make atonement for our brothers and sisters. We must have that mindset. We must strive diligently every day to show that concern. Let's just look at Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. Because if you don't have that genuine love, if you don't have that genuine love and concern, and we harbor these hatred and grudge in our mind, we just simply will fail to make it into that great atonement as pastor is speaking about. Romans chapter 14, verse 7. We start from verse 7. For none of us lives of himself, and no man die of himself. For if we live, we live to Yahweh forever. But if we die, we will die to Yahweh Therefore, whether we live or die, we are Yahweh's. For this very reason, Yahshua died and was restored to life again, that he might be the judge of both the dead and the living. But why do you pass judgment on your brother? Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or why do you look down upon your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of Yahshua. For it is written, as surely as I live, say Yahweh, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will confess to Yahweh. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to Yahweh. Counselors is set up. So when that time comes, When we stand to give account of ourselves, we will be found worthy of entering to Yahweh's kingdom. And when that time comes, when we stand to give account of ourselves, we can't be saying, well, look, when the book is open and we say, well, look, this is what I have against you. And from the time the priest starts reading or the judges or the coroner, they start reading, that is not the time to say, well, look, you know, time out, let me get my counselors. That time is too late. That time is way, way too late. That is why the counselors is constantly striving to get us in that state of mind where we can be found acceptable to Yahweh. How in there's no reason why someone should oppose a priest in Yahweh's house. No reason whatsoever. There's no reason why someone should oppose a judge or oppose a kohana in Yahweh's house. No reason whatsoever. If that occurred, that person still have that residue of Cain. He's not his brother keeper. He still have that residue in his mind. And that individual should constantly be begging Yahweh to forgive him of that foolishness. Constantly be begging him. Because this is what the kingdom of Yahweh, this is what the priest is set up for. This is what the judges is set up for. To guide everyone in that right way. This is what pastor is teaching us. The right and proper way to conduct ourselves in the house of Yahweh so we can qualify to make that atonement for each other. Continuing. Verse 19. Therefore, let us pursue the things of peace and the things which build up the house of Yahweh for one another. 15:1. We then who are strong or ought to bear with the failing of the weak, and those who are strong. How many times things occur, you know, and my little brains, you know, will say, well, boy, this is it. I'm in that situation, go to pastor, we see the mercy of Yahweh that pastor have. How many times? Because that love and concern. And this is what pastor is. He is strong and he's bearing with us, the weakness that we still have. And not to please ourselves. Let me read that again. We then, who are strong, ought to bear with the failing of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us please his brother for righteousness to the building of the house of Yahweh. For even Yahshua did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproach you fell upon me. For whatever things were written in former times were written for our learning, that we, through endurance and the comfort of the scripture, might have hope. Now may the Father who gave endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourself and as you follow Yahshua Messiah, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify Yahweh the Father of our ruler, Yahshua Messiah. Therefore, accept one another just as Yahshua also accepted us. That is how we have to accept each other. That's the example what Yahshua set. That is the example that pastor is setting. To the glory of Yahweh. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 13. As I about to wind up. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, we go to 11, verses 11 and 12. Because the time is so short, so short of hand. And day by day, you know, we're crying out to Yahweh. Day by day, we're crying out to Yahweh. Verse 11 says, and do this, understanding the present time, the hour have come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Our salvation is nearer. Look and see what the prophecies is taking place in the Middle East. Look and see. Our salvation is nearer, very, very near. Look at verse 12. He said, the night is nearly over. This is what we are looking for. The night, the test, the trials that we are going through. The persecution that the house of Yahweh is going through. That time period is nearly over. We have to endure. We have to qualify. We have to stand firm. We have to believe in the one sent. We have to overcome sin. He said the night is nearly over. He said the day is almost here. That day of redemption is almost here. That day of when what Pastor mentioned, the great atonement with Yahweh is almost here. We have to endure. We have to make sure that we qualify to make atonement for each other, because this is the standard that Yahweh set, love and concern. This is the standard Yahshua set, love and concern. And this is the standard Yahshua Hawkins is showing us. That is the concept we must have, love and concern, to make atonement. So with this, will you all please stand? I'd like to turn the service over to the great teacher, the great Kohan Israel Abel Hawkins.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. You know, I praise and thank Father Yahweh, great Father Yahweh, for allowing me to work with one of the greatest priests in the great house of Yahweh here in these last days, my beloved brother and fellow priest and co-worker, the great Kohan Malachiah Hawkins. I hope at this time you're not disappointed because the seventh messenger is not here. But I can assure you, I am a seed, a servant, and a son of my beloved pastor and overseer, the great Kohan Yeshua Hawkins. My beloved brethren, fellow priests, all the priestesses of the great house of Yahweh, and all of our brothers and sisters all over the world, from Kenya, Nigeria, Japan, Russia, wherever you may be, I want you to see something. That this is a letter that Pastor gave. He wrote, that's a beautiful newsletter. I highly recommend this to all, everyone on the face of the earth, 6-7 billion people, to read this newsletter. Come to Yahweh's feast, and I will show you the way to 100% peace. I will show you the way to 100% peace. Yahshua gave a great prophecy here concerning this beautiful messenger here in these last days. Yahshua spoke about that I will send another comforter to you, a comforter. One who would encourage you, to who would counsel you and comfort you with the everlasting laws of righteousness. And that comforter is a seventh messenger of the great house of Yahweh, the great priest of Yahweh, Yeshua Hawkins. I remember Yeshua Hawkins gave one of his sermons, and I really held fast to it. But he did say these words. He said, I am the seventh messenger of this congregation, and I have the scriptures to back me up. No one else on the face of the earth can lay claim to it except me. You agree with that, brethren? Can you handle the truth, my beloved brethren? Can you handle the truth? Very recently, I was teaching a six-year-old future priest in the great house of Yahweh. And I asked that future priest, I say, son, can you handle the truth? And he looked at me and he said, Kohan, I can handle the truth. Then he looked at me and he said, Kohan, can you handle the truth? Then I looked at the future priest. I said, son, I can handle the truth. Then he said, then the house of Yahweh is for you. I said, son, I appreciate that. I thank you for teaching me the everlasting laws of righteousness. Out of the mouth of babes will come forth the glory of Yahweh. This is a very joyful day. This is a very beautiful day in the great house of Yahweh. I have entitled this sermon, Blessed is he who keeps the beautiful law of atonement. It reveals the everlasting work of Yahshua, his bride, the chosen olive branch, and his seed. I want to get that really in sink in your minds. Blessed is he who keeps the beautiful law of atonement. It reveals the everlasting work of Yahshua, his bride, the chosen olive branch, and his seed. And this is the whole purpose of the kingdom of Yahweh being established. If you have your books of Yahweh, turn over to Matthew 24. We have to go directly to the teachings of Yahshua here. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And verse 14. I just want to read verse 14. I'm reading. You may not have it here in your, if you have an older book of Yahweh, but this is the update. This is where Yahweh fine-tunes everything in the word of Yahweh. But it reads here in Matthew 24, verse 14, and this joyous message of the kingdom of Yahweh shall be preached in all the world from the house of Yahweh at Abel by the witness Yisro, for Yahweh will be with him. He will preach this message to all nations. And we heard this testimony from one of the men from Kenya. He's reading the lost fate of the apostles and prophets, history of the work of Yahweh. And then the end, the clouds of calamity, the end of man's government will come to an end. If you have your books of Yahweh, let's go directly to the foundation of the law of Yahweh here. Leviticus chapter 23. There's four things I really want all those who do study the book of the law. There's four key components that you need to always remember when you study the law. It's the width, the length, and the depth and the height of the law of Yahweh. Because Pastor, I long for Pastor to get back explaining the 12 foundations of the kingdom of Yahweh. It's quite astonishing. It's quite amazing. But when you study the law of atonement, it's this beautiful, it actually represents the laws of Yahweh, the beautiful, magnificent, and brilliant mind of Yahweh. That's why Yahshua, he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Yahshua the Messiah. He had an attitude of obedience, an attitude of humility, an attitude of ever learning and ever improving in the way of righteousness. Come to Yahweh's Sabbath, come to Yahweh's feast, be ready to learn, be ready to be prepared to grow in the way of righteousness. But in the book of the law here, remember Romans 7 verse 12, therefore the law is holy, the commandments are holy and just and righteous. The laws of Yahweh is perfect. The attitude, the character of Yahweh, the thoughts of Yahweh's heart is perfect. It converts, it restores, it rebuilds the whole person from the inside out. Notice here in the book of the law here in Leviticus, remember Leviticus. Leviticus is known as the book of cleansing. It's the holiness of the priesthood. And this is where a man will draw closer and closer and closer to Yahweh, where he will begin to understand. He will be a man after Yahweh's own heart. But here in the book of the law, Yahweh spoke to Moshe saying, also the 10th of the seventh moon. The 10th of the seventh moon is a day of atonement. Today is the 10th day of the seventh moon. Go back to verse 23. I just want to cover this briefly here. The great priest of Yahweh spoke briefly here. He spoke on this law 10 days ago. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh moon, you remember in Psalms 89, verse 37, it speaks, if you have time to go back and look that up, but it refers, the throne of Yahweh will be established forever, like the moon, the faithful witness in the sky. So we see here, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the seventh moon, on the first of the moon, you shall have a Sabbath, a memorial blowing of trumpets. On the first day of the seventh moon, the faithful witness was the first here in Abilene to witness that first moon of that seventh moon on the first day. And others was able to see it. But it was quite astonishing. On top of the mountain, on top of the house of Yahweh, the faithful witness, Yahweh's seventh messenger, was the first to see that new moon. It's quite astonishing because the new moon there, it's a beautiful pattern of the kingdom of Yahweh. And Yahweh was able to allow that, allow his seventh messenger to see this first moon, the first day of the seventh moon, on top of the mountain, on top of the house of Yahweh. Let's go down to verse 27. Also the 10th of the seventh moon. I want you to remember numbers here. Yahweh always worked with numbers. The 10th of the seventh moon is the Hebrew letter Yod. He's speaking about Yahweh is the strength over the house of Yahweh. Also the 10th of the seventh moon is the day of atonement. Atonement. This is where a man as a great priest of Yahweh, you as an individual must become able to make atonement. You know, I do want to cover something about the sin of procrastination. Because the sin of procrastination affects a high percentage of people. What they do, they put things off. Well, I'm not concerned about it. I'll get to it later. How many of you at one time or another has been affected by it? The sin of procrastination, we put things off. But that's what Yahweh is calling, the silver trumpets, calling the people to come to the great house of Yahweh. The day of atonement is to make atonement for yourself, to purge out the old leaven and to make oneself clean and holy and acceptable and suitable and approved by Yahweh. But the sin of procrastination is what slows down the progression of one's overcoming, of one's conversion, and one's commitment to the word of Yahweh, the plan of Yahweh. So we need to abstain from it. We need to overcome these things in the house of Yahweh. We must put a stop, as the great priest mentioned earlier here, we must put a stop and overcome every ounce, every fraction, and every tiny fragment of sin within us in order to be made in the perfect image and likeness of Yahweh himself. Because that's what the Day of Atonement is. We must remove every fragment, tiny fragments. I don't know if you ever saw a carpenter work with a chisel, but that's what he does. He removes these tiny fragments from that material in order to produce a finished product. That's what the Day of Atonement represents, the bringing forth of a finished product. Yeshua was the finishing of the great plan of Yahweh. He was the first who was led and perfected by the keeping of Yahweh's laws. In Hebrews 7, verse 26, hold your place here. We'll just read it here. Hebrews 7, 26, it reads, for such a high priest is fitting for us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. But again, in verse 27, Leviticus 23, 27, it shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to Yahweh. You shall do no work at all on that same day, for it is the day of atonement to make atonement for you in front of Yahweh, your heavenly Father. Any person, notice here in verse 29, any person who's not afflicted, who delays his overcoming, who delays his conversion here, any person who is not afflicted, who does not humble himself, I don't think it's a problem to humble oneself before two of Yahweh's representatives in the house of Yahweh. Even myself as a priest, I must humble myself before two of Yahweh's great priests in order to get myself back in complete unity with Yahweh himself. Prayerfully, Yahweh willing, everyone will follow that pattern of perfection. But any person who is not afflicted on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. Any person who does any work on that day, that same day, he shall be cut off from among his people. In other words, the golden oil will no longer flow inside of you. You shall do no manner of work at all. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, in all your dwellings, wherever you may live. It is to you a Sabbath of rest. Notice here, today the Sabbath day of rest. The day of atonement is a day of rest, the day to do Yahweh's work. It is to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict yourselves. Yes, the day of atonement is much more than abstaining from the eating of bread and water, but it is to improve, to ever learning and ever improving one's maturity and growth and progression in the ways of Yahweh. There's a never-ending supply of the beautiful wisdom of Yahweh in the great house of Yahweh. A well that never runs dry. I mean, it's astounding here in the great house of Yahweh. It is to you a Sabbath of rest, and you shall afflict yourselves on the ninth of the moon at evening. Yahweh willing, hopefully, how many of you ate your cucumbers, as Pastor mentioned? You know, he recommended to eat some of your these cucumbers. It retains moisture within your body. But it's very beneficial and very healthy. Even watermelons is very healthy as well prior to this Day of Atonement. On the ninth of the moon at evening at the setting of the sun to the tenth of the moon at evening at the setting of the sun from evening until evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbaths. Let's go to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah 66. I know that the saints of Yahweh are quite familiar with the word of Yahweh. You've been trained, you've been educated in the way of righteousness. The great house of Yahweh is prophesied to bring forth salvation. The great house of Yahweh is prophesied to bring forth everlasting peace, everlasting righteousness here in these last days. But let's go to the writings of the great prophet Isaiah. This was one of the great, mighty, faithful workers of Yahweh. And let's all, everyone in the house of Yahweh strive diligently and daily to be a faithful worker among other faithful workers in the work of Yahweh. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh, notice here, all flesh, Yahweh is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter where you're from. Even if you're a preacher out in the world, even if you're a teacher somewhere, wherever you may be, if you will stop and consider your ways and join the work of Yahweh, Yahweh is able to enlighten you and give you a great opportunity to teach the everlasting foundation of Yahweh. Because the laws of Yahweh is the face of Yahweh. The Day of Atonement is putting on the face of Yahweh. And it will come to pass that from one new moon to another and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh will come to worship before me, says Yahweh. So we see the worship of Yahweh is the reverence of Yahweh, the love of Yahweh. It's a combination of many prophecies here, right? Explaining right there. Go over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, because Yeshua was a teacher of the Sabbath. He was a teacher of the law of righteousness. And that's what separates the great house of Yahweh, because all the religions of the world, the Catholic Church and all those who follow her teachings cannot bring forth everlasting righteousness. They cannot bring forth salvation. Nor, in fact, they are prophesied to deceive the whole world, as Pastor brought this out very recently. But here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8, notice here, now Yeshua was a contributor. He was a distributor and a promoter of the kingdom of Yahweh. And likewise with the seventh messenger of Yahweh, the chosen olive branch of Yahweh. Now Yeshua caused them to rest in obedience to the law. It is only by one's obedience will we be allowed to be a part of Yahweh's everlasting priesthood. Spoken of by Yahweh in the day previously. Notice here in verse 9, therefore there remains the keeping of the Sabbath. The keeping of the Sabbath. So the 10th day of the seventh moon is a Sabbath of rest. Blessed is he who keeps the beautiful law of atonement. So again, we see here, there remains the keeping of the Sabbath to the people of Yahweh. For he who has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works. And that's the power of self-control. The Day of Atonement teaches a man how to discipline his body, how to control his thoughts, how to control his hands, his feet, to cease from his labor and from his work. You know, too many times we become strikers. I want to focus here, Jesse, if at all possible. But Yeshua said that no strikers will ever enter the kingdom of Yahweh. How do a person become a striker? We strike with our words, our mouth. We strike with our hands. You see their hands, they want to beat the hell out of somebody else. That's the attitude and the mindset of people. They want to kick, they want to fight, they want to bite and scratch. That's the attitude. And that's what war produces. But the mistreatment of people, Yahweh wants us to put a stop to that in the house of Yahweh and all over the world. The mistreatment of people. They're being molested, they're being seduced, they're being raped and everything. They're being scoffed, they're being mocked. And even among my own people, Yahweh says, you must turn from that wicked ways. You mistreat your brothers, your sisters with your words. We're guilty of it. I'm not trying to toot my horn here, but we have to thoroughly evaluate ourselves. From the first day of the seventh moon to the tenth day of the seventh moon, it was a time of thoroughly evaluating oneself. If we're guilty of mistreating our brothers, our sisters, our wives, our children, grandchildren, it doesn't matter who it is, our workers, our co-workers, our supervisors out in the world or whatever it is, then we have a little tiny fragment. That's why we must put a stop and overcome every ounce, every fraction, and every tiny fragment of sin within us in order to be made in the perfect image and likeness of Yahweh himself. But this mistreatment of people, I'm guilty of it, and I have to beg the priests of Yahweh, please, I beg for your forgiveness for mistreating Yahweh's beautiful family. Because we're not careful with our words. If we can control our thoughts, then we will be able to control our words before it comes out of our mouth. We need to learn how to shut our mouths up. That's the power of self-control. You want to teach self-control? Anyone, whoever you are, we have to discipline our mouth. Set a guard over our mouths, O Yahweh. Keep watch over the doors of our lips. Yahweh wants every man, woman, and child to make atonement. If you offended your brother, you mistreat that brother, that sister, it doesn't matter, because I will be the first to stand before Yahweh's people. I'm guilty of it. I had to beg Yahweh's priest, please, for my flaws and weaknesses, because the laws of Yahweh, the attitude of Yahweh is without flaws. Hebrews chapter 5, across the page there, Hebrews 5, I want you to take a close look, to closely examine the everlasting work of Yeshua here. Because that's what the Day of Atonement, the Law of Atonement, blessed is he who keeps the Law of Atonement, the beautiful Law of Atonement. Let's have a positive attitude. Let's have a joyful attitude. It's a time of jubilation, a time of rejoicing, looking forward for the great Feast of Tabernacles. I can't wait to sit at the feet of the priests and the teachers of peace. Come to Yahweh's feast, and I will show you the way to 100% peace. That's the message of the seventh messenger here in these last days, our great overseer. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, notice this everlasting work of Yeshua. Remember, Yeshua, I just wanted to remind everyone, Yeshua was driven. This man was driven with determination to do the will of his Father. When the time he rose up, when he walked on the road, when he lied down and then he rose up. I mean, wherever he went, he was driven with determination to do the work of Yahweh. And we can follow that same pattern, the same footsteps of Yeshua, the great righteous and faithful high priest and judge over the house of Yahweh. Verse 8, Hebrews 5, verse 8, though he was a son, yet he learned, Yeshua learned obedience. Remember, at the age of 12 years old, he sat at the feet of the mighty priest there at Zebulun. The number 10 has a lot to do with those who see the light, the number 10. It's the 10th stone of the breastplate of the high priest, is the chrysolite. And that chrysolite is a beautiful stone there. But the Day of Atonement represents also the breastplate of the high priest. We don't have time for that. I would, because one of Yahweh's great priests expounded on several sermons about the breastplate of the high priest. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. Then being perfected, he became the causer of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. To all those who obey him. Called by Yahweh a high priest. Yahshua was called a high priest after the pattern of a king of righteousness and a king of peace, Melchizedek. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 1. Go one page back. Hebrews chapter 1 and beginning with verse 1. Yahweh, who at various times and in different ways spoke in times past to our fathers. Remember our forefathers, the prophets of Yahweh, they were faithful. They were led. They were moved. They were guided. They were inspired. They were under the strict supervision of the word of Yahweh. They never wavered. They kept Yahweh's plan alive for this last generation to follow through. Has in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, for whom he also made the world. Who being the reflection, notice here, and that's what atonement is. We're striving to put on the face of Yahweh, the face of Yahshua, and the chosen olive branch. You remember what Pastor said, I am Yahweh to you. Now it's your duty to be Yahweh to me. And if you don't do it, I'll lose you. So again, we see here that we must be driven with determination like Yahshua to be made in the perfect image and likeness of Yahweh himself. Who being the reflection of the perfection of Yahweh and the representation. Remember Yahshua, he said, I represent the way, the truth. The way of the kingdom of Yahweh. In the way of righteousness is life. In its pathway there is no death. In Proverbs 12:28. But Yahshua represented the way, the truth, the truth. The truth of Yahweh. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness because your law is the truth. The way, the truth, and the life. Yahshua is the life. He's the power and wisdom of Yahweh to those who latch onto it. Again, we see here. And the representation of Yahweh's plan by upholding all things concerning that which was spoken by Yahweh through the law and the prophets when he had purged sins. Notice that when a person, my beloved brethren, when any person becomes ready to take full responsibility of his own weaknesses and flaws and actions, and to make those simple corrections in his or her own life. Do you realize, brethren, that that's the beginning of your healing? That's the beginning of your conversion, your overcoming? We must take full responsibility. If we mistreat someone, if we talk down at someone, if we curse, we laugh, we scoff, we must take full responsibility for our actions, our attitude. The Peaceful Solution Character Education Program teaches mark the person with positive character. He will practice self-control in all situations. Yahweh through the law and the prophets, that's the strength of Yahweh. That's the foundation of the great house of Yahweh. The immovable, the solid, firm, immovable foundation that is built upon 12 foundations. Which was spoken of by Yahweh through the law and the prophets, when he had purged sins, sat down on the right hand of Yahweh on high. Yahshua sits at the right hand of Yahweh. He does a superb job, a magnificent job, with a covenant of peace. The counsel of peace will be between Yahshua and his chosen branch, the chosen olive branch, here in these last days. Becoming so much better than the Malachim, he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Go down to verse 8. But to the Son he says, the throne of your Father is forever and ever. The throne of Yahweh is forever and ever. The foundation of the kingdom of Yahweh, the house of Yahweh is built upon the words of the apostles, the prophets, and Yahshua Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone. But to the Son, he says, the throne of your Father is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. for you have loved righteousness. And that's the attitude of servitude, the attitude of humility, a desire, a burning desire to ever improve and ever learning the ways of righteousness. One who would come to love Yahweh's laws of righteousness. Great peace have they who love the laws of righteousness and peace, and nothing will offend them. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, Yahweh, your Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness. You know, we fast and pray with sackcloth and ashes on the Day of Atonement. Yahweh is well pleased. It is accounted to you as righteousness. You're proving to Yahweh that you can be trusted. You're proving to Yahweh that you can be set apart to bring forth everlasting righteousness to this world of iniquity. The whole world, by the way, the whole world, from the cradle to the grave, the whole world has been exposed to wickedness. They see it with their eyes, they hear it with their ears, they touch it with their hands, they smell it with their nose, they taste it with their mouth. But from the cradle to the grave, mankind has been exposed to wickedness, how to practice the wickedness of sin. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. If my people which are called with my name, I'm just reading here from my notes. If my people which are called with my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, their mistreatment of people, their mistreatment of others, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sins. No, you can't try to hide behind another priest. It doesn't matter who you are. Try to go from priest to priest so that the one that you offended, you don't go to that priest and ask, I beg for your forgiveness. Forgive me for mistreating you. I'm trying to get Yahweh's people into the kingdom of Yahweh. It's the moral obligation of the great house of Yahweh. I have been prepared to bring forth righteousness. I cannot bring forth unrighteousness. This prophesied work is prophesied to bring forth righteousness. That's the words of the greatest teacher in the world. And I am one of his sons. I'm not ashamed of being a part of the great house of Yahweh. But we cannot be combative with our words, mistreating people with our words, our damnable words. I hear filthy language coming from the house of Yahweh. It's detestable, despicable to Yahweh. I'm just really, Yahweh wants us, it's really, we... Pastor brought a sermon. I would that we could play that sermon. Don't get pruned out of the house of Yahweh. Don't get pruned because we're responsible. If we're ready to take full responsibility of our actions, our attitudes, our everyday interaction, Yahweh wants us to be blameless, irreproachable before all men everywhere. But you who love righteousness and hated iniquity, this is the promise of Yahweh. Yahweh, your Father, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions, your fellow heirs. Your fellow heirs. Go over to Psalms 110. And beginning with verse 1, I want to cover these parts, knowing that we have a little bit more time. We got to, what, about 7:45 this evening. Surely Yahweh's family can endure any test. The house of Yahweh provides life-giving instructions, life-giving examples that we can overcome every test, every trial, and every tribulation that comes our way. Don't complain. Don't let complaining come out of your mouth anymore. This murmuring, complaining, and bitching, unacceptable to Yahweh. Yahweh said to my ruler and king, sit at my right hand until I make your adversaries your footstool. Yahweh will send the rod of your strength, the rod of his strength, the scepter of righteousness, the mighty and righteous and faithful priest of Yahweh, the great Kohen Yisrael Hawkins, the one who... He's the one. He's the one that Yahshua talked about that I will send a great comforter. The great comforter. I want you, Yahweh willing, we don't have time that, but he's the great comforter. Yahshua said, I will send you another comforter. Yahshua was a comforter to his apostles. He comforted them. He nourished them. Even when they were at times falling apart, he encouraged them. He urged them on towards love and righteous work. The same way with the seven trumpeter. He's the great comforter to the multitude of nations. And he's comforting all of us with the words of righteousness, the words of peace and of love and of joy and of rejoicing. Yahweh will send the rod of your strength out of the great house of Yahweh at Abel. You will rule in the midst of your adversaries. This rulership, the pastor said, don't get rulership in your head. We cover that in our workshop. I like the fact that we do go back and rehearse the books of Yisrael. But he said, don't ever let rulership get to your head. Walk around, don't let, you know, like you, calm down. We need to calm down. Calm down and wait a minute. What did the great priest just said? I am my brother's keeper. We need to serve each other. The kingdom of Yahweh is a kingdom of servitude. I'm not here for you to serve me. I am here to serve you as a priest in the great house of Yahweh. But let us all work together. Let us work together in the bond of unity. Your people will have proved themselves when a man, a woman, a child is ready to take full responsibility, full responsibility, full responsibility. Yahweh warns his people once, twice, even three times to turn from your wicked ways. Yahweh is no respecter of persons. Yahweh wants us to put the stop. You know what war is? Let me look at my notes. I've got several notes here. Please forgive me. You see this word here? I hope you can see that here. What causes wars and fightings among you? You see that three-letter word there? War. What we're doing is working against righteousness. One of Yahweh's great priests, which I highly, highly respect and admire him for his unwavering love and servitude to the people of Yahweh. But that's the problem in the world today. And that's the problem that we can cause within our own family units, within our own environment. What it is working against righteousness. And that's what the religions of the world, the Roman Empire, the popes, the two witnesses, as Pastor said, they are the two witnesses of Hillel. They are working against righteousness. In fact, they're prophesied to work against righteousness. They cannot bring forth righteousness. Only the house of Yahweh is prophesied to bring forth everlasting righteousness. Your people will prove themselves obedient to the law on the day you go forth in power. This power, the power of self-control, is in your hands. How to abstain from striking with your hands, striking with your feet, striking especially with our mouth. We mistreat others. The law says, do not seek revenge, nor bear any grudge against any of your people, but you shall love your neighbor, your brothers, as yourself. But your people will prove themselves obedient to the law. On the day you go forth in power, they will unite with you. And that's what the Day of Atonement represents. The law of unity and peace. The law of forgiveness and mercy and compassion. It talks about all of Yahweh's 13 attributes. If you study carefully those 13 attributes. They will unite with you arrayed in their holy garments. Like the morning dew, they will completely cover the earth. They will completely cover the earth, governing with you, speaking the everlasting laws of righteousness. Turn over to the book of Micaiah, chapter 4. Micaiah, chapter 4. Micaiah, chapter 4. I just want to rehearse here and just set everything up, because this is what the priests of Yahweh will remind us here at the Great Feast of Tabernacles coming up. Remember in the law here, the foundation of the great house of Yahweh. But you are to seek the habitation of your father in Deuteronomy 12, verse 5. The place where Yahweh your father has chosen to place his name. And there you must go. But notice here in verse 1, but in the last days, in this last generation, it will come to pass that the mountain, the promotion of the great house of Yahweh. We remember the great house of Yahweh is recognized and approved by Yahweh. It is the pillar and ground of Yahweh's truth. The house of Yahweh will be established in the chief of the nations. It will be raised above all congregations, and all peoples will eventually flow to it. All nations will eventually flow to it. All nations will eventually flow to it. Hold your place right there. Go over to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Acts the 10th chapter and verse 34. Acts 10 verse 34. Hold your place there in Micaiah 4 and verse 1. Then the word of Yahweh came to the great apostle Kepha. You remember the apostles, they were led, they were moved. They were under the inspiration of Yahweh. Then Kepha opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he who reverences him." What is the reverence of Yahweh? Job 28, verse 28. The reverence of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom. He who turns away from evil and sin will begin to understand the great mercy of Yahweh. But in every nation, he who reverences him and works righteousness. So we see here to those who will look at the law of Yahweh as the apple of one's eyes. Because Yahweh looks at his people as the apple of his eyes. But the word of righteousness, the word of Yahweh must be our uppermost desire. It must forever be in the forefront of our minds and in the back of our minds, the laws of Yahweh. It will help a person to guard his mind with all diligence when the word of Yahweh is in the forefront of his mind, where he can see it in his eyes. I remember Pastor brought out a sermon, and when you study the words of the prophets, look through the eyes of the prophets, because they were moved, they were led, they were guided by Yahweh. But in every nation, he who reverences him and works righteousness is accepted by him. And that's why Pastor gave presented this invitation. Come to Yahweh's feast, and I will show you the way to 100% peace. And in verse 2, "And many nations will come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain, uplifting of Yahweh, and to the house of the Father of Yaakov. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths.' Because the law will depart from Zion and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem. And he will judge," notice here in verse 3, "and he will judge between many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they will beat their swords into plowshares." So you can see the quartet is at this time making some maneuvering. It seems like they want to repent and turn from their sinful ways. "And they will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore." And war is what? What is war? The acronym for war? Working against righteousness. "But every man will sit under his olive." He will sit under his vine and under the olive tree. You see the olive tree here? We're all sitting under this olive tree here, the chosen branch, the chosen olive tree of Yahweh. "And none will make them afraid, for the mouth of Yahweh of hosts has spoken it." So you can see the combination of these prophecies unfolding. Turn over to Yekezkiah. I love the writings of the book of Yekezkiah because Yekezkiah had incredible insight, incredible vision of the plan of Yahweh. Yekezkiah chapter 43. Yekezkiah chapter 43, and I just want you to pay close attention to verse number 12, because here at the great house of Yahweh, we're teaching everyone how to put a stop to sin. The buck stops here at the great house of Yahweh. You cannot continue to practice iniquity. Remember what Yahshua said, because iniquity will abound, the love of the many will grow cold. But here at the house of Yahweh, everyone, when they are taught, when they are trained, and when they are educated in the way of Yahweh, in the way of righteousness, we teach you how to put a stop to sin, to remove every ounce and every fraction and every tiny fragment of sin from our inward parts. But here in Yekezkiah chapter 43, remember what was exhorted to all of us here in on the weekly Sabbath, where Pastor mentioned many times, for we look for a kingdom where we look and earnestly long for a kingdom where only righteousness dwells. But here in Yekezkiah 43 verse 12, I'll conclude with this, with the writings of Yekezkiah. It reads, "This is the law of the house." The law of the house. Remember, blessed is he who keeps the law of atonement. This is the law of the house. On top of the mountain, you're in the top of the mountain at this time, the great house of Yahweh, the pillar and ground of Yahweh's truth. Yekezkiah saw something thousands of years ago. He see it through the eyes of the prophets, through the eyes of Yahweh. But it reads, this is the law of the house. On top of the mountain and the whole area surrounding it is most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. So the law of the house of Yahweh is to make man in the perfect image and likeness of Yahweh himself. Pastor said these words, if I can do it, you can do it. You believe that, brethren? You believe the words of the seventh messenger of Yahweh? That's what he said. If I can do it, you can do it. If I can overcome, you can overcome. If I can practice righteousness, you can practice righteousness. And brethren, serving Yahweh, keeping the tenth day of the seventh moon on the Day of Atonement, it really comes down to a matter of choice. Serving Yahweh is a matter of choice. Repenting of our iniquities is a matter of choice. Serving the gods and doing whatever is right in your own eyes is a matter of choice. But if you go that route, if you go that pathway, then the prophecy shows, then dying you will die. You know what? I can go on and on concerning the plan of Yahweh over and over and over again. One more. I just want everybody to Nehemiah chapter 5, Nehemiah 5, verse 19. I want you to remember this and write this down, if at all possible. I want to conclude this. I meant to conclude in Nehemiah chapter 5 because this is one of the greatest priests ever to do the work of Yahweh. In Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 19, I want you to have this attitude of servitude. I'm sorry, on page 395 to those who are looking at it. But this is what I want everyone to do. At the start and ending of every day, we should remind ourselves of the words of the great prophet Nehemiah. At the start and ending of every day, we should remind ourselves of the words of the great prophet Nehemiah. Nehemiah 5, verse 19. Notice what he was inspired to write here. He said, "Remember me, O Yahweh, for the righteousness I have done on behalf of the people." You see that, brethren? You see the unfolding and the explanation of the plan of Yahweh is only brought to you here at the great house of Yahweh. Remember, Yahweh loves you with an everlasting love, and he has brought you to the great house of Yahweh to teach you, to train you, to raise you up, to be a faithful teacher in the great house of Yahweh, a teacher of righteousness, a teacher of peace here in the great house of Yahweh. May Yahweh bless your understanding. Would everyone please stand? I'll turn the services over to the great priest of Yahweh.